Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Malachi, chapter 2. I want to pick up where I left off last week with basically introduction, what I was wanting to talk about, some things about companionship. I had the opportunity yesterday. Mary and I went over to see Millie Jackson, who's in the hospital, and she is having an MRI last night, so I haven't heard what came from it at all, but I know she appreciates your prayers, and for Brother Bill as well to keep up with, so I know their needs. And Doris is still over in the whatever that place is on Williams Road, and still in need there too, so she's looking forward to getting back to her place, but I know she appreciates your prayers too. The book of Malachi in chapter 2, we were discussing last week about companionship and what it takes for companionship and getting along, and whether it's husband, wife, or friend and friend, church member to church member, or whatever's going on with somebody at work or school or any place, neighbors, but companionship there, somebody you want to really get along with, somebody you want to get to know well and be a part of. And so just a few thoughts about that. But in the book of Malachi, remind us that Malachi was God's messenger, being able to help these folk to get things back right with the Lord. His name was being, excuse me, I don't need anything. I just, I have a post-nasal drip problem I've had all my life. So every time I preach, I always take a Sudafed to stop that. I took my Sudafed this morning. It just hadn't stopped yet. Hopefully it'll stop by about 11 o'clock. So I'm fine. It just kind of goes on with me, but it does interrupt my speaking sometimes. But he was talking about God getting glory, and from chapter 1, about his name. And there must be a half a dozen times where he says, "My name, my name, my name, my name." I mean, on and on. Verse 11, three times in there, chapter 1. So he's talking about his name. God wants to be exalted all the time. And by the way, the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So I look in the Old Testament, I think God's concerned about his name. And so we want to do everything we can to always lift up, defend, stand behind the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God, so we can lift up and exalt his name. Well, his name wasn't being cared for properly. And in fact, the priests are the ones that he's really getting on right now here in the book of Malachi, because they, the leaders, they were the ones that were at fault. We went over some of that last week. But anyhow, notice if you would, we'll pick up again in verse 10. He said in verse 10, in fact, excuse me, go back in verse 9. Verse 9, he said, "Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." And I look at that, and I think what he's basically saying to these priests, you know, you were kind of doing my work allegedly, but then you became partial. You kind of picked out, say, "Well, this is, I'm going to hammer away on this one, but this other point, I'm going to let it go because it's kind of stepping on my own toes, or I'm going to stand for this." In other words, they didn't take the Bible as their final authority, or God's word as their final authority. And what we're always supposed to do is to keep in mind that we don't want to be partial to the Word of God. This is God's Word. It's God's law. It works for us, and he wants us to keep it. That's why he's always talking about keeping my commandments. You read the book of Deuteronomy. It's all about doing, 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 keeping up with what God wants for us. And then he says in verse 11, "Judah hath dealt treacherously," that is, deceitfully, unfaithfully. "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is fully committed, is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god." So Judah, coming back from their captivity, and as it went down 100 years or more, and then just started intermarrying with other people, the pagans that were there, the heathen, the strange god, daughters of the strange god. So it wasn't the fact that they were marrying people that weren't right with God, or Gentiles, or they were of the same race, basically, because they all still came from, coming down from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and they all came down from there. But it was the religious aspect of it. They were heathens. That's what God was so concerned about here. So he said that was the problem. They married the daughter of a strange god. It's the worship that they had that God was so concerned for. And may I say, most of us, our children, if we have children, they're grown and gone on, and we've got grandkids now, so we think, well, I don't pay attention to the kids. But I remind us, grandchildren are going to be growing up. Many have great-grandchildren as well. And we all have to keep in mind that God's still concerned about being unequally yoked. And it's still mighty important for us, even though our children may be out of the nest, don't forget the grandkids and just remind them of how important it is to make sure you don't, it's not a matter you have to get married to somebody right away, but you just want to make sure that they're only dating the right kind of people, and that is people that love God. I'm going to share a verse later, but I'm going to give it to you right now. I've got it later in my notes. But in Psalm 119:63, most important verse in my way of thinking on friendship and companionship, he says this. The psalmist said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. We had our son memorize that verse early on as a child to keep that in mind, because that's a key verse for everyone, all of us the same way. So my closest friends are here and other friends we had in our other church. But I think this is where you develop your friendships. This is where you get your companions, particularly when you talk about a life companion as a marriage partner. So it's vitally important. But I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. You may work with people that are lost as a goose, but or just purely lost. Or maybe others are friends or something, but just keep in mind, don't get too thick with anybody that's not someone that keeps God's commandments and loves the Lord. So it's important for us as adults, it's important for us children as well. These people, they didn't care. They didn't want to follow what God had told them to do in the book of Deuteronomy about keeping away, not intermarrying here, and marrying their and giving up theirs as well. But then he says in verse 12, he said, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, that's about everybody, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done, again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not thy offering anymore. He's talking to these priests here as well. Or receiveth it with good will at your hand. And ye say, wherefore? So here they are. God is saying to them, you know, the same thing he does about the money later. But he says, they say, well, God, what have we done? What's so bad? You know, wherefore? I mean, why is it, Lord, this happened? And he says, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Remind us again that when you really want a succinct definition of marriage as well, or how you define it properly, it is really those two words there at the end, yet the wife is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Marriage is a covenantal relationship. It is not a contractual relationship. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. And the covenant is a till death do us part. It's not a matter of just for convenience sake that we want to just, we'll write up a little note here, and if something happens, we'll just part amicably. You know, I hear people saying, well, we're still best friends, but we divorced. Well, why did you get divorced? You're not best friends that way. But I'm saying it's important to keep it in mind. Now, again, as I said last week, any place I go, there's always people that have been divorced, plenty of people that have been divorced. This is not to put anybody on a guilt trip, because everything can be forgiven, as I understand my Bible. But I'm saying, as we train others, teachers, to our children, grandkids, others, we have opportunity, and for all of us to just keep in mind that our marriage is forever. So marriage is vitally important. God's answer to loneliness, remember, was he said, well, it's good for man not to be alone. So God's assessment of being single, it's not a good idea. So it's good for man not to be alone. I mean, after all, who would you have to wash your clothes? I mean, if you stayed single all the time. So you've got to have somebody. I mean, there's a whole lot more to that, making good food and good dinners, and but the companionship, that's what God talks about. It's the companionship that's vitally important for all of us. And it just takes a lot of resolve. So companionship, as one point, is it needs commitment. So I'm committed to the marriage as a companion, when we're dealing with marriage relationship. But it's any kind of, you know, it's a different, there's no covenant when you have a friend that's a real good friend, but it's friendship point, principles still work. And that is, it's commitment. So you kind of, there, you know, a friend sticketh closer than a brother. We know that. So marriage is that commitment to give our all to each other, a commitment to resolve problems, take care of things as they come along. And we all need that as well. But there are a lot of things that kind of hinder our commitment. And time is the biggest factor that takes to build commitment with one another. If I am committed to my wife, that means I will take time with my wife. We do things together. It's no longer a his and her agenda. It's a we agenda. I found out when we were first married, Mary wasn't any good playing football, so I kind of threw that out. We played tennis for a while, and it went up over the fence. I haven't picked up a tennis racket since then. So I chased a lot of balls out there. So you kind of figure out what it is that you do together, and you work on those things. And that's vitally important. But you figure out the interests that are there, because we have to be careful. So watch out as well, because commitment takes time. Most of us have jobs. Listen, come to think of it, I don't. But a lot of people still have jobs. I keep forgetting how old I am. But we used to have jobs. Remember those good old days? We used to have jobs, and it was always there. And we had our definite time, and sometimes you had to work overtime. But you had to keep in mind all the time about what. As a pastor, I always made sure that I took time with my wife. I always took a day off every week. And if I somehow had to do something on my Monday off, I would talk to Mary about it as well, just to make sure there's understanding of what we're doing. And some things crop up all the time. It's 24/7 when you're a pastor. But we think you have to, it takes time. You work at it. You give yourself to it. You plan things together, that things that you can do and the interest that is there. So marriage is a till death do us part. That's God's idea of marriage. It is a covenantal relationship that we're going to have. We covenant for better or for worse. I mean, it doesn't make any difference how bad it gets. Doesn't make any difference what ailments that one gets, and don't we all get them as we get old. Doesn't make any difference what it is. It's a commitment till death do us part, and that's a blessing in going on. A second thing I'd say as well is companionship needs caring. Just to be able to care. So there's that commitment that is there. So I never wonder if Mary's going to be around because she's committed to it. She never wonders if I'm going to be around tomorrow. I'm committed to it. There's a commitment. There's a covenant. And we both revere our God and fear our God, and so obey his covenant that he has as well. But caring is vitally important as well. And so you think about, well, you care. So it takes a lot of energy sometimes to build that companionship where we go. But after dealing with that time aspect, we think maybe, well, really, does it really make any difference? And it does make a lot of difference, because it's kind of like when Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you do something for somebody. You obey it. You have that relationship that is there. And so it's always that way as a husband and wife that you want to do. So I want to find what my role in the Bible as a husband, and a role as a wife, what our responsibilities are, and seek to fulfill them and do our best. And you think, well, maybe you did your best, but somehow the other person didn't, and it just kind of messed things up. That happens every day of life. But thank the Lord, if you're still married, praise God. If you've gotten remarried, still married, praise the Lord. when you get pick up and you go forward in serving the Lord with new things, perhaps that we all, I mean, as I said last week, marriage is probably the most unprepared for major event in life, because we don't just have a class that we have for how to be married and how to be a good husband or how to be a good wife. You hear messages every now and then about it from the pulpit, but I never listened to anything from the pulpit when I was growing up. I've just kind of had my other agenda, you know. But you think about children, they just kind of learn what they observe. And so what do they observe? Well, you know, talking to somebody just recently about, you know, a remarriage, and the children observe this about their dad that walked out on them. And so they kind of repeat the action later on, just how you handle problems and difficulties and struggles that are there. When you have suicides in families, if you go to get insurance, they want to find out if you had somebody else in a member of the family that committed suicide. They want to know, because then they're thinking you probably learned the same thing they learned, and so we're going to have to question you seriously about this. So I'm just saying it's important, but it's not well prepared for, unfortunately. But kind of caring, I look at it, I think it kind of just keeps the love going, keeps the honey in the honeymoon. You know, sometimes we have the honeymoon, and as soon as we get home, you scrap the honey part of it and just kind of moon thing and just kind of, well, big-eyed, you know, it's going to work out. You know, there'll be someday it'll take care of itself, but we go on. And but it's a matter of caring, and caring gives of ourselves. It has to do with the touch. It has to do with the caring. Song of Solomon. Solomon said this in the Song of Solomon 2. He said, his banner over me was love. And later, my beloved is mine, and I am his. There's that relationship that is there in caring for one another and making it vitally important in there. Now, when you stop and think about it for a moment, thinking of myself, there are a lot of ways you may interpret how somebody cares for you differently than I would interpret how somebody does, or that the next person. But let me ask a question just for some thoughts from you. What are ways, and anybody married, single, anybody can answer it, but what are ways that you show your care to a spouse or a parent or a friend, or what but particularly in marriage, what are ways that you show caring that's there? Serving them. When you do something for them, you know they really care. Pardon me? Giving. Giving of ourselves. I didn't hear that. Keep in mind, attentiveness. Go ahead, say it again. Now that's... Yeah, Robert, I'm really impressed. I'm telling you. A man that's with a smile on his face says, take them shopping. You know, okay, somebody else have a good response. Communicating. That's a big point. We'll cover it later, too. Judy. All right, one at a time. I think, saying you're sorry. Saying you're sorry. Hey, because maybe I offended you, and so that puts a block up in our relationship until I seek forgiveness and get it worked out. Judy? Giving up something for someone. Like I did. I gave up playing football with Mary, so, you know, when we got married. No, but you do. Seriously, you give up things. And that's kind of, that shows you really care about somebody. If I'm willing to put this aside for you. And doing, but you think, you know, there's so many things that you can do and show that we really care, but it's vitally important to us as well, and caring. So it's just it's a good thing to keep in mind that I want to show the care, because you kind of, you know, I think of Galatians 6, the first part there, like, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of the Lord. So marriage, when you get two people become one, that it is a caring process there that I do, so that I get burdens, and it's always nice that I can share anything that's on my heart with my wife, my very best friend. And she can share anything with me. Something happens at work, something happens at church, something happens in the grocery store. You just kind of, you share things like you do with best friends. But you share things with each other, carrying those burdens and all there. It's important as well. And a third principle there, beside the commitment and the caring, is the communication, which is vitally important. I was reading just recently again that causes of divorce and communication, which covers a lot of areas, is really right there at the top, the lack of communication in a marriage and a home. Because no matter what the problem is, if you put your heart into it, you can get it worked out and resolved. But it takes a desire on my part as one of the two. And keep in mind, marriage, when God talked about, wherefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And it only takes one time for something to be important in the Bible. That's mentioned four times in the Bible, four different Bible verses, the exact same thing. So vitally important. And as I said, the one thought that I had that got from a teacher I had one time was this kind of leaving, you leave your mother and father, cleaving, cleave unto your wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, weaving, leaving, cleaving, and weaving. And you think, that's it. So it's all important. But in my communication, I've got to make sure we keep talking about and resolving the problems. So problems come up in a home, and that's a whole long series in itself, but communication. But problems come up in a home. How do you deal with them? Say, well, we don't have any problems. Other than lying, what other problems do you have in the, you know? But I mean, every family has problems and they come up. I mean, it's there, you know. But again, am I committed to my spouse? Am I going to work at it? Are we going to take care of it? Are we going to deal with it? And what happens a lot of times is a problem comes up. You know, finances are the major problem in homes, as well as infidelity is a major problem in homes. How do you get those things worked out? You don't sweep them under the proverbial rug, because that'll get you nowhere. It just builds up. And then later on, when you start walking, you're walking all over and up and down this rug, and you can't keep it straight. Or you put them in the closet, you open the door, they all come out and crush you sometime. It doesn't work like that. So if there's a problem here, whatever, maybe a financial problem, and we differ on how to spend the money or whatever it might be, what happens so often is the husband can be over here and see the problem right here. She wants to spend it on something for herself. I know better. I need a new shotgun, and I've got to use the money for that. And so I have my, and so she's got her idea, he's got his idea. The problem. And what happens is, instead of addressing the problem, we wind up firing at each other. We forget the problem is over here like a triangle. So instead of both of us working together to resolve the problem, we look at each other and think, and then it's a matter of who's got the best answer, who's louder, and usually we men win out on that one. But I mean, you forget the problem, and it's just, I'm going to win this battle no matter what. We're not concerned about resolving it. I just want to be the winner. And there aren't any winners when that happens like that. So it's vitally important to communicate, and proper ways of biblical communication are vitally important. I think Solomon said to his bride, he said, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. In the Song of Solomon 4, verse 3. But I think it's so important to talk. And by the way, communicating is speaking and is listening. It involves both. So if I communicate properly, I have to resolve problems and resolve a problem. So it's there. So these people that Malachi was dealing with and talking about, they were not only disobeying God, then they were rejecting their spouse. So they had two big problems that were going on right here. And one is that they were taking on the heathens, and they got rid of the God-given wife that they had and putting them aside and taking others. So it's kind of like, and that's where there's a lot of weeping that was going on there. So they put them aside and take the other one. So it's divorcing, it's breaking the covenantal relationship that was there that God wanted me to keep till death do us part, to be able to kind of get self-satisfied with some issue that has come up for myself. And so they thought, well, there's somebody there. I like them better. It just, does something for me. I mean, you come back and your spouse comes back and says, hey, I've really got my real love now. And I mean, it can really mess up everything. But thank the Lord. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it either, by the way. Sometimes when somebody just walks out, that's why God deals with desertion as well in the scripture. But somebody just walks out on you, they're gone. They've got another love or lust, but another love or whatever out there. And they walk out on a marriage. And you think, wow, I've always said there are no winners in divorce. And anybody who's been divorced would say, amen, I know. And you don't have to. But I'm just saying, in your heart, it is. Because there are no winners. There's a husband and wife, no matter who's at fault, there's no winners. Children, there's no winners. Parents, the parents hurt when the kids, there's no winners. Grandchildren, there's no winners. And it could go on and on and on like that. So you think it's got to be very, very careful in what we're doing in our marriage relationship to keep that companionship going that pleases God and honors God. But don't ever get weary of resolving a problem. I really think it's wise, and I heard a man say this, and I learned it, and I repeated it. But if you get to the place where you can't, you just come to a standstill, and you're not resolving the problem, you're still going at each other instead of dealing with the problem, then get help, get counsel, and get counsel from your pastor. And I think Pastor Bill, Pastor Chris, I think that's what, if you go 2 or 3 days and you can't resolve it, go see them. And they can take the Bible and help you resolve a problem. A counselor is not someone who declares a winner and a loser. You don't try to find, let me see, all right, let me hear your version. I'll tell you, the winner is. That's not what counselors do. We simply take the Bible and take whatever our problem is, sift it through the Bible, and get out here at the bottom and say, this is what God said you need to do. That's what you get from your pastor, our pastor. And what a privilege it is to be able to have men of God like they are to be able to go to get help when something comes up or doesn't get worked out or doesn't get resolved as you'd like to have it done. But I think work at it. So I think the privilege we have of just kind of being able to get things going right and the way they want to. But be careful about communication. There are a number of things that hinder biblical communication. And I put down just a few things. Unresolved conflicts. You don't get it worked out, you know, your communication lines stop. Sin that gets covered. You know, I think, okay, I know it's there. I know the Bible says I'm supposed to go to them and talk to them, resolve it. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I've got to make sure that if we're going to communicate, even with a friend, with my friends, I want to make sure if I regard iniquity, if I've got an unresolved issue, it's not going to work out to go to prayer. I can't have something against my wife and then think God's going to answer my prayers, because he's not going to, according to that, Proverbs 28:13 and 1 Peter 3, verse 7, your prayers will be stopped in a marriage relationship. I think attitudes, be careful. Anger, be careful of. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And I think how important it is to make sure I get everything resolved before I hit the sack at night, because you don't go to bed with unresolved problems, period. So you do it. So you work things out right away. And that's always a key. That's always been a principle that Mary and I have used as well. We've had problems before, no surprise to anybody, because we're as human as anyone else is, but we always resolve them before we go to bed at night. And that's vitally important so they don't stack up, because they linger on. And by the way, when you let anger go, it turns into bitterness, and you don't want bitterness in your life at all. But, letting the unforgiveness spirit as well. But then a last thing I wanted to mention as well, the companionship needs cooperation. We've got to work together. The companionship is doing things together. It's cooperating. It's remembering that the marriage aspect of the cleaving part. The most important person in my life is my wife, and I want to make sure, and I'm not talking about God, who's the preeminent one, but on this earth, the most important person in your life should be your spouse, and the one that you, your best friend, the one you can talk to anytime at all and have that time, the mutual support that is there. So you can do things like, you know, your dinner dates, your hikes, their walking destination, vacations, shopping. Shopping is a terrible thing, but you've got to get used to it. It took me about 60 years to get used to it, and I think tomorrow I'm going to do a better job of it myself. But it just takes time. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know how it is with you all, and I probably shouldn't disclose it, but my wife and I can walk into a shopping center. She can go in the ladies there, and I walk with her, and she gets in the ladies' place, and I say, okay, so look at her watch and say, oh, we'll be back in 30 minutes or something. We'll meet here at this door. And 30 minutes, I can go through the whole shopping mall. I come back, she's still right there. You know, I think, okay, you know, you don't lose them that way anyhow. But you work things out, and you just take times, and it kind of takes that commitment there. So you go through that, and we don't have time to hear anybody else's thoughts or opinions, but I'll tell you something we've enjoyed doing together, too, is visiting and just going. I know we were out yesterday and last week and visiting some people, and it's fun doing it. And we're usually following Brother and Mrs. Crichton, who are the most, they're always out there talking to people. But I just think what a wonderful privilege it is for all of us to be able to be there for somebody else. And that's been a key factor in this church family. It's just caring about somebody else, doing for someone else, you know, just being there and being supportive, because life gets kind of rough, you know, and it's vitally important that we have the time. But a mutual support. Two are better than one, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 4:10. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken, Ecclesiastes 4:12. And so husband, wife, God, you can't beat it. It's just there. It works together, that threefold cord there as well. And I'd say, as I think about the verse that we mentioned earlier about a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but then the rest of that verse is, and there man, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we all know that from Proverbs 19:24. The most important relationship I will ever have is the one I have with God. And that's the one you never want to break. You don't ever want anything separating between you and your God. And so I want to make sure, not like Isaiah talked about, but your iniquities are separated between you and your God. I want to make sure you keep a short list. You just keep it, keep them forgiven. No matter when the sin comes, you get it forgiven. You want to get it right with the Lord and right with the spouse as well. But have that relationship with God. Bible reading, prayer, every single day. You don't ever, well, I'm too busy. You're never too busy for that. You just had the wrong priorities if you didn't find time to read your Bible and pray. So get the priorities right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, he said, and do everything we can to be able to enhance that relationship by doing my part, by walking with the Lord, living for God, and serving him until Jesus comes back. Companionship, it goes a long way. And I think for all of us, it'd be just kind of worthwhile we could think about maybe just step it up a little bit more and those things we do together and serving one another for Jesus comes back. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the privilege of owning my own Bible and having the Word of God to instruct me and others, and Lord, to be able to live for you by your power and your Spirit. And I pray you'll just continue to help, Lord. Help us to keep you first. Help us in our homes to keep Christ preeminent and do all we can to bring honor and glory to you and your holy name. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.